Thank you. Good evening. I need to make fun of Kamweru because I make fun of my wife about that. You know how blessed the hands that have prepared? So I usually ask her, what about the owner of the hands? You know, so, amen. We're actually talking about blessing today, so that sort of stuck out for me. It's great to be back this week. I was just telling Nelly how my life has been quite the roller coaster in this past 2 months. And so it's just amazing that God has kept me right through this time. Last Saturday, we saw that salvation, forgiveness of sin, assurance of salvation, suffering and death on behalf of somebody else, and restoration are all Old Testament truths. They're, all of them are Old Testament lessons, and those are the lessons we found in Genesis 45. And we were saying that because of that, it doesn't matter whether we teach from the Old Testament or the New Testament, either way, we will experience and we will be able to share the joy-giving, the peace-giving, the heart-reviving good news, the heart-reviving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So today we're going to continue to learn more from this portion of the Bible that God intended to be a blessing to us as much as the New Testament. So Genesis 46 through to 47, and just to confirm, the cow did not refuse today, so we're going to cover both chapters. 46 verse 1. So Israel set out with all that was his, and when he reached Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in a vision at night and said, Jacob, Jacob, here I am, he replied. I am God, the God of your father, he said. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will surely bring you back again. An assurance of God's presence right through this process. And Joseph's own hand will close your eyes. Verse 5, then Jacob left Beersheba, and Israel's sons took their father Jacob and their children and their wives in the carts that Pharaoh had sent to transport him. So Jacob and all his offspring went to Egypt, taking with them their livestock and the possessions they had acquired in Canaan. Jacob brought with him to Egypt his sons and grandsons and his daughters and granddaughters, all his offspring. We see in these few verses that Jacob receives God's assurance, not just of God's presence, but that the promise that God gave to Abraham is still in force. Nothing has changed because you're going to Egypt. I'm not going to stay here in the promised land as you go out to Egypt alone. The promise was still there that Abraham's descendants will still end up in the promised land. I will bring you back. And they are still expected to be a blessing the way that Abraham was commanded to all nations. And being refugees in Egypt was not going to change that. And so Jacob gets this assurance. And so he then leaves and goes to Egypt with his entire family. It might be helpful at this point to sort of have the same idea of what is it when we say bless or blessing? The act of declaring or desiring or wishing for God's favor and goodness upon somebody else. Notice the direction it goes. Sometimes we like those songs where, you know, but the direction is towards others. The blessing is not just the good effect of words, because when we say good things for someone or about someone, when we pray for people, it does sound good. But beyond how it sounds, there's actually power in the blessing. It bears fruit. It shows up in our lives. The blessings actually take shape in our lives, and we can experience them, we can see them, we can enjoy them, and others can enjoy them. The patriarchs in the Old Testament pronounced such benefits of their children many times when they were approaching their own time of death. We see that, or rather, we're going to see that later in Genesis 49 before we wind up in a few weeks. Even blessings that have been spoken by mistake, like the blessing that Jacob himself received, cannot be reversed. The power of the blessing is such that once it has been spoken, it takes effect. And so Jacob is blessed, even though his father did not intend to bless Jacob, but his elder brother. That blessing stayed. And so that's the power we see in a blessing. We also see leaders in the Bible blessing their people. We see how Moses blesses the nations in Deuteronomy 33. We see the priestly blessing that is in Numbers 6, 23 to 27, a favorite in my family. We see the blessing of Joshua in chapter 22. We see Jesus pronouncing blessings. Equals could bless each other as well. We see that with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. But we can also bless God. We're not necessarily desiring good for him because he himself is goodness. But we show gratitude for who he is. We show gratitude for what God has done. We see that example in Deuteronomy 8:10. We see that example, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me, bless his holy name. And that's just one example of many that we find in the Psalms. God himself blesses his people, giving us life, giving us riches, giving us fruitfulness, giving us provision in different ways, giving us health. And the ultimate blessing, turning us from evil and forgiving our sins, and giving us the gift of himself through Christ and through the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Acts chapter 3, Romans chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 1. Many places that we can see there. Ephesians chapter 1, where he talks about we have every spiritual blessing in Christ. Not some of them, not many of them, every spiritual blessing in Christ. God blesses us with himself and everything that comes with him. The richness of blessing. So when we come back to the story, we see that the blessing Jacob and Joseph are practicing in these chapters is that which they inherited through the promise to Abraham, to be a blessing to all nations, Egypt being one of them. To speak God's favor, to speak God's goodness on other nations. And that's what they do for Pharaoh, and that's what they do for Egypt. We won't read verses 8 to 27 because it's just a list of names and families. But also because I really want to get to the next part of this. But it gives us 8 to 27, the list of the sons and their children. And there are more than 70, given the comments that we find towards the end of that portion, verses 26, 27. For those of you who are particular about how they get to 70, my apologies, we won't do the number work. Verse 28, now Jacob sent Judah ahead of him to Joseph to get directions to Goshen. Notice who has been sent? Judah. The man who came up with the plot to do in Joseph, make him a slave, sent Judah ahead of him to Joseph to get directions to Goshen. When they arrived in the region of Goshen, Joseph had his chariot made ready and went to Goshen to meet his father Israel. As soon as Joseph appeared before him, he threw his arms around his father and wept for a long time. Israel said to Joseph, "Now I'm ready to die since I've seen for myself that you're still alive. For those of you who missed what we shared last week about weeping and emotions and men crying, please listen to the message for last week. Today we've shifted gears to happier things, more comfortable things for the guys. Let's just say that this encounter of Joseph and his father was one deep emotional moment of joy and thanksgiving. There are two things for me that I find difficult to imagine because I find they compare, but I can't imagine how that must be. How God the Father received Jesus after he rose again. Can you imagine what kind of moment that was? And the next one is how he'll receive us. Yeah, I can only imagine. Anyway, verse 31. Then Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, I will go up and speak to Pharaoh and say to him, my brothers and my father's household who are living in the land of Canaan have come to me. The men are shepherds, they tend livestock, and they have brought along their flocks and herds and everything they own. When Pharaoh calls you in and asks, what is your occupation? You should answer, your servants have tended livestock from our boyhood on, just as our fathers did. Then you'll be allowed to settle in the region of Goshen, for all shepherds are detestable to the Egyptians. Keep that in mind. 47 verse 1. Joseph went and told Pharaoh, my fathers and brothers with their flocks and herds and everything they own have come from the land of Canaan and are now in Goshen. He chose, Joseph that is, five of his brothers and presented them before Pharaoh. Pharaoh asked the brothers, what is your occupation? Your servants are shepherds, they replied to Pharaoh, just as our fathers were. They also said to him, we have come to live here for a while because the famine is severe in Canaan and your servants' flocks have no pasture. So now, please let your servants settle in Goshen. Pharaoh said to Joseph, your father and your brothers have come to you and the land of Egypt is before you. Settle your father and your brothers in the best part of the land. Let them live in Goshen. And if you know of any among them with special ability, put them in charge of my own livestock. These families, the descendants of Abraham, the descendants of Jacob, formed the building block of a nation that God had set apart to be a blessing to all nations. And here is Pharaoh recognizing a bit of that. And he gives them the best that Egypt has to offer. Why? He has already experienced this blessing and he doesn't want to mess that up. Because where Joseph comes from, there must be more. So if Joseph by himself can be such a blessing to us, imagine all of them. And so he settles them in the best part. God had worked out things in such a way that these descendants of Abraham, these recipients of Abraham's promise, will not perish in the promised land during the famine. Instead, God will grow them into a nation in the best part of a foreign nation. And you know how that is spelled? B-L-E-S-S-E-D. God set them up to be blessed so that they can be a blessing. The best part of Egypt was given to them. And an offer that any one of you is welcome to serve under Pharaoh. But God was not blessing Jacob's descendants just so that they enjoy this beautiful land, just so that they enjoy the best of the land and show off about this blessing, showing off to the Egyptians. No. God was doing this for a purpose. Families are the building blocks that God has created in any nation so that through those families, the nation can be blessed. It begins at family level. So if you and I are wondering what's going on with Kenya, let's look at our families. Let's not look at our politicians. It's not their fault. Let's not look at the church. The church is made up of families. And the church is not a building. It's not a denomination. It's not an organization. The church is family. God set up families to be a blessing to the nations. So we continue from verse 7 of 47. Then Joseph brought his father Jacob in and presented him before Pharaoh. After Jacob blessed Pharaoh, notice that, Pharaoh asked him, "How old are you?" And Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The years of my pilgrimage are 130. My years have been few and difficult." 130. "And they do not equal the years of the pilgrimage of my fathers." Then Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from his presence. So Joseph settled his father and his brothers in Egypt and gave them the property in the best part of the land, the district of Ramesses, as Pharaoh directed. Joseph also provided his father and his brothers and all his father's household with food according to the number of their children. When we looked at Genesis 41, we found that Joseph was 30 when he entered into service of Pharaoh. His father was 100 years older than him. Imagine that. 100 years. But they were pals like crazy. But notice this. Jacob had learned how to be a blessing through this, what he calls his pilgrimage. He had learned even how to bless a hostile relative, working for him for 14 years and making him rich. Jacob, through the time he spent with Joseph, regardless of the distance in years between them, taught Joseph, mentored Joseph on how to be a blessing, telling Joseph who Joseph is because of Abraham and what they have been called to be as the descendants of Abraham, a blessing to all the nations. And Joseph understood this, and we see it in his life. Abraham was called to be a blessing. You remember the story we talked about with Abimelech. He was a blessing to that king and his household. Isaac, again, a blessing to Abimelech. Same scenario, ends up with a peace treaty. Jacob, a blessing, as we've already said, passes that on to Joseph, but not just to Joseph, but even to Joseph's brothers. They were not left out of that promise. Again, we see God's grace coming through. Remember from what we said last week that God's ultimate blessing came through the descendants of Judah, because that's the tribe of David, the tribe of Jesus Christ. So you see how the family thing works? How the family is the root of blessing. In fact, many times when we're doing weddings, one of the things that we have made almost like a rule or a practice is that whenever we are blessing a couple, we involve the parents, because that's how God set it up. That the parents, the family, that's where the blessing flows from. So guess what was going to happen when God grew these families in Egypt? God was increasing the descendants of Jacob, the descendants of Abraham in Egypt, so that they can increase their capacity to be a blessing to all nations. But let's come back to Joseph. Joseph was a different kind of despised person. It's not every day that you see someone who receives that amount of hate. It's not every day that you see someone who receives that amount of rejection. It's not every day that you see someone who receives that amount of injustice and they respond with a blessing. Joseph had learned who he was and what he was supposed to be, that nothing was going to stop him from fulfilling that destiny. Blessed to be a blessing, come what may. And he does that. He did not hesitate, even though he may have thought initially that this blessing was only for the children of Israel. But when he finds himself in Egypt, everywhere Joseph is, he is a blessing. Because from the moment he arrives, even though all he knew was suffering, neglect, hate, and prejudice, the only thing that Joseph did in those 13 long, hard years was to be a blessing. He was a blessing even to those who neglected him, mistreated him, and called him names. And yes, the blessing did result in Joseph's favor, but that wasn't his point. That wasn't his target. He was not blessing so that he can be blessed. He was not giving so that it can be pressed down, shaken together, and run over for him. He was blessing because he knew this is what I am created to be and to do. To be a blessing, not counting how much of it is going to come back to me. And so he just blessed everywhere that he went. And if you look at Joseph, you look at Jacob, you look at Abraham, you look at Isaac, their positions in society were not the reason that they were blessing. Joseph was a blessing as a servant in Potiphar's house. He was a blessing as a prisoner. He was a blessing everywhere he was. He was a blessing as a governor. He did not become a blessing because he was a governor. So you do not have to have political office to make a difference in society. But if you know how to make a difference in society, whatever your position is, when you get political position, you will continue to be a blessing. It's not the position that makes us a blessing. It's who we are and who we are called to be that makes us a blessing. When you and I embrace that, it doesn't matter whether we are servants, refugees, foreigners, slaves, whatever, or princes, we will be a blessing because that's who we know we're supposed to be. And Joseph understood that and understood that this generation that I have been born into is a generation that blesses. And he was not just happy to know that. He did what his father, his grandfather, his great-grandfather had done. In obedience to God's calling, he shared every single blessing he had received with others, regardless of who they were. Remember Peter and John? Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give you. Joseph understood that and did it. A despised foreigner. Because remember, why else would the cupbearer forget him? He wasn't important. He was a Hebrew slave. He was a descendant of shepherds that are despised by Egyptians. He was not important. Why should I remember him? Yes, what he said came true, but hey, that must have been a fluke. Didn't remember him. He was a slave of questionable reputation, if you believe what Potiphar's wife said about him. But did that reputation stop him? No. He did what he knew he was, regardless of the names that he was called. He was an ex-convict. They don't get employed just like that. They have to get rid of this excess baggage of having been in prison before people can trust them. But look what ended up happening. Pharaoh trusted a despised foreigner with a questionable reputation and a convict record with the future of Egypt. Talk about being blessed. And that's what Joseph was. Things were so desperate for Egypt that Pharaoh managed by God's grace to see the blessing beyond its despised packaging. The question is, do we see beyond our packaging? when we were supposed to be blessing. Oh, I am not this. Oh, I wish I was born in that family. Oh, I wish I was like so and so. The packaging is not what blesses. It's the contents, treasures in jars of clay. That's what Joseph was. And that's what we're being challenged to be. Our God-given gifts don't bring us before kings so that we become rich and famous. Our God-given gifts don't bring us before kings for such limited things. That is too small, too short-sighted, and too short-term. God gifts us so that we're a blessing to the kings and to the kingdoms of those kings. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says that we are each given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, not for our selfish gain. And Joseph's life, the life of his father, the life of his grandfather, the life of his great-grandfather, prove that. Verse 13, that's chapter 47. There was no food, however, in the whole region because the famine was severe. Both Egypt and Canaan wasted away because of the famine. Joseph collected all the money that was to be found in Egypt and Canaan in payment for the grain they were buying, and he brought it to Pharaoh's palace. The treasury was becoming rich. When the money of the people of Egypt and Canaan was gone, all Egypt came to Joseph and said, "Give us food. Why should we die before your eyes? Our money is all gone." "Then bring your livestock," said Joseph. "I will sell you food in exchange for your livestock since your money is gone." So they brought their livestock to Joseph, and he gave them food in exchange for their horses, their sheep and goats, their cattle and donkeys. And he brought them through that year with food in exchange for all their livestock. As a friend of mine said, Joseph made sure that he didn't make these guys beggars. They participated in what they got in terms of food. Verse 18, "When that year was over, they came to him the following year and said, 'We cannot hide from our Lord the fact that since our money is gone and our livestock belongs to you, there's nothing left for our Lord except our bodies and our land. Why should we perish before your eyes, we and our land as well? Buy us and our land in exchange for food, and we with our land will be in bondage to Pharaoh. Give us seed so that we may live and not die, and that the land may not become desolate.'" So Joseph bought all the land in Egypt for Pharaoh. The Egyptians, one and all, sold their fields because the famine was too severe for them. The land became Pharaoh's, and Joseph reduced the people to servitude from one end of Egypt to the other. However, he did not buy the land of the priests because they received a fixed allowance from Pharaoh and had food enough from the allowance Pharaoh gave them. That is why they did not sell their land. Joseph said to the people, "Now that I have bought you and your land today for Pharaoh, here is seed for you so you can plant the ground. But when the crop comes in, give a fifth of it to Pharaoh. The other four-fifths you may keep as seed for the fields and as food for yourself and your households and your children." "You have saved our lives," they said. "May we find favor in the eyes of our Lord. We will be in bondage to Pharaoh." So Joseph established it as a law concerning land in Egypt, still in force today, that a fifth of the produce belongs to Pharaoh. It was only the land of the priests that did not become Pharaoh's. Now the Israelites settled in Egypt in the region of Goshen. They acquired property there and were fruitful and increased greatly in number. Jacob lived in Egypt 17 years, and the years of his life were 147. When the time drew near for Israel to die, he called for his son Joseph and said to him, "If I have found favor in your eyes, put your hand under my thigh and promise that you will show me kindness and faithfulness. Do not bury me in Egypt. But when I rest with my fathers, carry me out of Egypt and bury me where they are buried. I will do as you say, he said. Swear to me, he said. Then Joseph swore to him, and Israel worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. Why did he worship? God had proved his faithfulness to Jacob, and Jacob knew that I can trust that this promise will be found faithful in its time. And so he worshipped God and said, thank you that now I can rest, because the son that I knew was going to bring this promise to pass is alive and has seized that calling and is running with it. I can now depart in peace. And so he blesses God. Joseph's wisdom, obedience, and compassion are seen in all these things that he's doing. He doesn't reduce these people to where they're getting handouts. They're participating in everything as they're getting this food. And as a friend of mine said, he makes sure that not only are they eating food, but they have seed to plant so that when this famine is over, there will be a harvest. So Joseph's wisdom is evident right through. His desire to invest in the capacity of Egypt, the people of Egypt, so that they don't have to go through another famine, made him a blessing to Egypt and to Pharaoh. The blessing of the nation was beginning to gather momentum through the work of Joseph, through the work of his father Jacob. Pharaoh was happy to meet the father of this kind of son. He must have thought, if Joseph is like this, imagine the father. Remember the words of Jesus? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And so if Jesus is such a blessing, we can rest assured God the Father is exactly like that. Thankfully, Pharaoh hadn't met the other guys first. But the story is still amazing, because these dishonorable sons are still part of the plan. They're still part of God's plan. They get a second chance. The way Jesus said that the sun and the rain will fall on the wicked and the righteous. And the question for us, when you and I are compared to our Father in heaven, are we like him, blessing the righteous and the wicked? Or do we reserve our blessings for those we like, those that we favor, those that bless us? God the Father blesses the righteous and the wicked, for God so loved the world, all the nations, that he gave, not some of them, all of them. Where do you think Joseph got these insights from? Where do you think Joseph got this wisdom from? He wasn't playing agwata in prison. He was fellowshipping with God. He was spending time with God. He was trying to understand, how do I have such dreams and end up in such a place? And he interacted with God. And every opportunity that came his way, he blessed, because that's what he understood he's supposed to do. Not sit in bitterness and sulking because he's in prison. Because he realized, my situation does not change who I am. It doesn't change what I've been called to be. He wasn't busy, you know, counting on the wall how many days have I been in prison, or playing knots and crosses on the prison wall, or singing sad songs, nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Joseph was engaging, communing, hearing, listening, learning from God, interacting with God, so that when any opportunity arose, he was a blessing. Make no mistake, we've seen in his story, he wasn't happy to be in prison. And so any chance he got, he wanted to get out. But he got out when God decided he was good and ready for Joseph to get out. Remember Jeremiah's counsel to the Israelites before they went on exile? Settle, build, plant, multiply in that land. Because if it prospers, you also will prosper. The location of the believer is not the point. Who the believer is, what the believer is called to do, is the point. So that anywhere we go, we can be and should be a blessing. What is it that occupies our time? Are we those who spend time looking at what we wish we were, what we wish we had, where we wished we had gone to school, where we wished we were working? Do we recognize what we already are, what we already have? Our blessing, and our ability to be a blessing is not in this packaging. And it's not in the location that the packaging finds itself in. This past week was my 20th spiritual birthday. And on that day, I was confused how to celebrate because I was just overwhelmed by the whole idea. Recognizing that this was not my own doing. Because looking back, I feel like I look more like Joseph's brothers than Joseph. But God has been faithful. But this came to mind. What is it, in the words of Psalm 116, what shall I give to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation. I will lift up that which I am. That which I have been given, that which I have been called to be, and I will call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of his people. And the burden that I felt that day was, how do we use the divine resources that we have? Think of it this way. If you got a combined harvester, are you going to buy a half-acre plot? You're not. If you buy a tuk-tuk, do you need a superhighway? You get the point? Do we understand who we are, what we have? Not for our boasting, but for the blessing of others. Do we actually understand how much we have been given for the blessing of the nations? Isaiah 49:6 says, it is too small a thing for you, God speaking to the servant, Christ that is, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. In other words, God was saying, for you to bless your own is easy. Anyone can do that. It's another thing to bless people who don't think they belong to you. People who are not like you. People who are not considered part of you. And that's what I want you to be. And so Jesus comes and proclaims, I am the light of the world, not the light of Israel, the light of the world. It is too small a thing to bless only those who belong to us. And this is the burden I felt, that we are before kings as Christians, and all we live with, going by the stories that each of us I know have heard in different versions, all we live with is the excitement of having been in the presence of an earthly king. Oh, I was with Uhuru Kenyatta. Oh, I was with Obama. He brought me shoes. Oh, that's all we leave the presence of earthly kings with. Oh, I shook his hand. What a horrible waste of divine favor. Did you bless that king? Did that king know that you're a blessing to all nations? Or was it you who was so excited to be in that king's presence? Jacob was not impressed by Pharaoh's kingship. He blessed Pharaoh. He didn't decide, I'm just a shepherd who is a refugee from Canaan in the beautiful, rich land of Egypt before the king of Egypt. Oh, what can I say to this great and mighty Pharaoh? No, he blessed Pharaoh twice. Jacob understood who he was and what he had to offer Pharaoh. Now, some translations will say that he greeted Pharaoh. Yeah, but if you have had any interaction at all with your mother tongue, you will know that Africans don't just greet that way. We pronounce blessings as we greet. And that's what he did. And the Hebrew word is actually the same word. He blessed Pharaoh. He was not overawed because he was before an earthly king. When you and I encounter the kings in this world, are we a blessing to them? Because we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be. Even those of us who minister before the presence of God, whether as musicians or as preachers or whatever form of ministry that you're involved in, is our joy limited to those tears that fall down our face when we are ministering, or that spiritual thrill that goes through us in that time of ministry? Is that all there is to it? Or do we bless the King of Kings? Do we bless the Lord of Lords? Do we know that he has enjoyed what we have done? Does he say about us what he says about those we see in the scripture? Did he take note that we are righteous like Job? Does he take note that we are friends like Abraham? Does he take note that we are after his heart like David? Does he call us esteemed like he did Daniel? Does he say that we are virtuous and loyal like Ruth? Does he say that we are brave and faithful like Deborah? Does he say that we are wise, courageous, and compassionate like Esther? A wise teacher like Priscilla? What does God say when you and I minister in his presence? Does he recognize that we seek his glory and his alone? Or we are only seeking the spiritual thrill of that moment? We are not created to bless ourselves, but to be a blessing to others. That's what God calls us to do. What great value are we to earthly kings? What great value are we beyond that of clowns and other entertainers that he already has? He doesn't need them. If all the king wanted was clowns and entertainers, he pays them. He already has them. Is that what we want? Do we want to be paid like them? Do we want to be clapped for like them? Do we want to be cheered like them? Is that all that God created us for? Is that all God blessed us with himself for? What a waste of divine resource. God is not calling us to receive applause from the world. He's not calling us to receive pennies and trinkets from the world. He's calling us to be a blessing to the world, an eternal blessing, because God is eternal and his blessings never fade. They never wear out. They never rust. They're never stolen. They don't get lost. They don't get grabbed. Are we aware who we are? What is it that we're chasing after? Because if all we want is what the clowns and entertainers get, then what? What happens after that? What are you left with? What am I left with? is that worth my time in prayer? Is that worth my effort in preparation? Is it worth my sweat? Is it worth my creative input? Is it worth the name of Jesus that I have been given, that you have been given, just to receive the applause of the world and the trinkets that they have to offer? Jesus is worth so much more than just that. You and I have been made so much more than just that because of He that is in us, that no earthly treasure can pay for. We are called to be a blessing beyond the moment that we are in the presence of earthly kings. That's what Jesus wants from us. That's what God wants from us. Are these earthly kings and their kingdoms affected because we exist? Are they affected because we belong to Jesus? Are they affected because of everything that comes with those who belong to Jesus? Jesus did not come here, die on the cross, and rise again just so that you and I can be rich and pretty. That was not His purpose. That was not His point, and that definitely is not our purpose. The blessing is not for us to hold back. It's not for us to hoard. The blessing is for us to give. And like we said earlier today, it is actually more blessed to give than to receive. Why? Because in that giving of the blessing, we are acknowledging before God and before all nations that we truly are the descendants, the recipients of Abraham's promise to be a blessing to all nations. Hoarding blessings is very much like watching a sunset alone and you have no one to tell about that experience. It's like watching a movie, an exciting movie by yourself, but you have no one to tell about it, no stories to share about that movie. Or listening to beautiful music by yourself, but no one to share that joy with you. Our blessings when they're shared. The joy and the excitement and the fulfillment is when it is shared. Imagine if NASA didn't have a world to tell that they went to Pluto. It's a big deal when it is shared. When it's not shared, it dies off. It dies off. It's like some people remind us, that's why the Dead Sea exists, to tell us what we are not supposed to be, receiving and never giving. Spiritual blessings are not things that we can lose through sharing. They multiply with use. They multiply with the sharing. Do those who are around us, around me, around you, do they experience this reality about who we are and what we've been called to be? Do they experience the blessing that God has chosen to give through those He calls His own? Are we a blessing or a curse to those who are not yet believers? Are we a blessing or a curse to the Muslims around us? Is all they hear from us, I'm glad that the season of all those adverts has gone? Are we a blessing or a curse to our Somali brothers? Or do we just see them as terrorists just because they happen to have been born Somali? Are we a blessing or a curse to those who have a different moral system from ours? They don't know Christ. They cannot subscribe to our moral system because they don't know it. They don't know the one who makes that law. Are we a blessing or a curse to them? Are we a blessing to this nation? Are we? What do Kenyans say about Christians,
about the church? Are we a blessing to the foreigners among us? Are we a blessing when we are in the land of foreigners? Are we a blessing to anyone and everyone around us? Or are we so busy claiming the blessing for me? You pass this guy and you say, Lord, I claim that blessing. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. God has blessed someone else with that car. Rejoice. Don't claim it. It's not yours. Are there drunkards who are dying, suffering without hope because we are hoarding the hope that we have in Christ Jesus? Are there sick people who need healing, but all we pray about is, God, heal me? Are there young people, girls and boys, who are lonely and neglected because the only relief, the only comfort that I seek is mine? Oh Lord, I'm in this really messed up situation. Please bless me. But there are others who need that blessing, and we never pray for them that way. We pray for ourselves. Are there people who are broke and jobless around us? Because the only provision you and I pray for is for me. My job, my salary, my promotion. But never being a blessing to others. We are more blessed when we bless, not when we seek the blessing. It doesn't matter whether you're broke, sick, or lonely. It will not change my capacity or your capacity to be a blessing. So bless, because we are called to be a blessing. Homeless people in need of shelter. Lord, I want a house. Oh, Jesus, please provide that house. Oh, I want a plot and a second one and a bigger one and a bigger phone. But there are people with real suffering, waiting for the children of God to rise up and be a blessing to them. But what are we doing? Chasing after the trinkets of this world, the short-term pleasures of this world. That's what we are wasting God's time praying for. Why is Jesus interceding for us? It's not to get cars and phones. It's to bless the nations. The Holy Spirit is not groaning in prayer so that you and I can get a cell phone. It is so that we can be a blessing to nations. That's how we utilize divine resource. Stop using a combined harvester in a half-acre plot. Let us wake up, people. That's what God is saying. That's what Joseph and Jacob understood. We are not about getting these things. They left the promised land. They left it. And it was still a blessing in Egypt. Why? Because they understood that the blessing is with them, in them, through them. Not through their circumstance, not through their situation. We are blessed to be a blessing. There are entire nations that are waiting for us to wake up, to rise up and be a blessing. There are entire communities that are waiting for the sons of God to rise up and be a blessing. There are families that are perishing, waiting for their family members to be a blessing to them. But what are our family members doing? Little old me. Bless me, bless me, bless me. He already did with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Why are we blessing? Why are we praying for what we have? We should be praying for the opportunity to share it, because that is what God has called us to be. Do we understand? Do I understand? Do you understand who we have been called to be, what we have been called to do, to be a blessing to the nations, not to ourselves?
And so on Thursday, I looked back at my life and I asked God, please help me never again to reverse the direction of blessing, to recognize that I am already blessed with the greatest thing any human being can have, God Himself. Now all I need to do is live up to the way that I have been created. My eyes are not looking inward, they're looking outward. And the blessing is supposed to go in the same direction. You and I are being asked by God through this story, do we understand who we are and what we've been called to do? And if we do, what are you going to do about it? I'd like us to pray. I already told you that I feel I'm more like Joseph's brothers than Joseph. But by God's grace, I want to be done with that. So, no pressure. If you need time to make this decision, go ahead. Take all the time you need. But if you are ready to declare before God today that, God, I'm done praying for blessings for me. I'm done trying to get my healing, my provision, my joy, my pleasure. I want to become what you called me to be, a blessing to all nations. And if that is your desire, I want to invite you to stand. I'm not going to pray for you. I'm just going to give us time for you to make that commitment before God. And say, God, turn my eyes outward. I want to become a blessing to other nations because you have already blessed me to be a blessing. So if that's the heart desire that you have, please stand and join me as we look to what we're supposed to be. Father in heaven, you've seen each and every heart of those who have stood, those who are yet to make this commitment. And Lord, for those who are like me, forgive us for the many years and many times that we have wasted the rich divine resource that is Christ in us. That we have wasted the rich divine resource of Christ standing at your right hand interceding for us. That we have wasted the rich resource of the Holy Spirit interceding for us on perishables. Forgive us, Lord, for our thirsting and hungering after blessings for ourselves.
and failing to recognize we already are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive me. Forgive my brothers and my sisters. Lord, as we stand, we're not standing in our own strength, in our own faithfulness. But Lord, we are standing and asking, just as you promised Jacob, that I will go with you. I will be with you. That, Lord, you would help us by your grace to be faithful to your call on our lives to be a blessing to all nations. Give us such a rich and deep understanding of this call that the kings of this world, the princes of this world, will not impress us or cause us to be afraid. Give us such a deep and a rich understanding of this truth that we will not chase after earthly pleasures and earthly gifts and earthly applause. But seek only the affirmation and the reward that is eternal. Forgive us for the times that we have despised ourselves, believed the slander of those who do not know you, and therefore held back on being a blessing, because we thought we were too poor, too unknown, too unsophisticated, or whatever it is that we thought we're not. Open our eyes, Lord, to the reality of what a true follower of Christ is, to the reality of what we have that the world cannot buy and cannot get except through you and through the channel that you have chosen, the body of Christ. Help us, Lord, to be faithful, because, Lord, you who promises is faithful to keep this that we are entrusting before you this evening, even for that day when we stand before you. Oh, for the joy of receiving that rich welcome. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been a blessing to all nations. By your grace, Lord, by your grace, let none of us miss out on that. And so to you who's able to keep us from falling, to present us before your glorious, majestic throne, blameless and without fault, to you, the only God, be glory, power, majesty and dominion, through Christ Jesus, both now and forevermore. And all God's people say, Amen.
Amen. Are you blessed? Are you ready to bless? Thank you so much, Pinto, for being used of God to be a blessing to us and just leading us by that small example of how we can be positioned, and we are truly positioned to be a blessing. And I pray that for the commitments that we've made this evening. We shall see the fruit of them in the days to come. That we shall really be blessed to be a blessing. Amen. Next week we have Kwame Rubadiri. Pastor Kwame will be taking us through Genesis chapter 47. So please come and come with a friend. Sorry, I think I'm always one chapter back. I don't know what's happening. Genesis 48. Kwame Rubadiri next Saturday. Shall you rise to our feet and share the words of the grace? And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Get home safe. Hope to see you on Saturday, God willing. Have a blessed night.